Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, October 21st, 2025. Let's get started. The first headline reads, Center of Attention. And it's actually a large photograph, front and center, and it's an older gentleman in an orange button-down shirt. He's kind of surrounded by different people. And the caption reads, Friends, family, and fans gathered at the Esquire Lounge on Monday night in downtown Champaign to wish local sports media icon Lauren Tate an early happy 94th birthday. The Hall of Famer spun stories as only he can as the weekly guest of the News Gazette Sports Page radio show. And you can check out all of Robin Schultz's photos. That's Robin, R-O-B-I-N, last name Scholz, S-C-H-O-L-Z. Her photo gallery at newsgazette.com. And this is a picture taken by her. And it's just an older gentleman, and he's smiling, you know, in the crowd. So happy early 94th birthday to Lauren Tate. Next up, weekend rainfall. Unfortunately, we get paid by the moisture. Showers helped reduce dust quantity, gave farmers a much-needed break during harvest. This article is written by Rob LeCates. He can be reached by email at RLECATES@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Paxton. After hitting the harvest hard for his 1,250 acres of corn, that's 1,250 acres, Ford County farmer Rick Nelson was in need of a break. He and other local farmers got it over the weekend when steady rain showers dumped nearly an inch in Paxton and more in surrounding communities that have been starving for it. It really settled the dust, Nelson said Monday. The combines have been raising a lot of dust because both the soybeans and the corn were just being pulverized. Nelson, whose fields had received all of 0.2 inches of rain since harvest began, started up again once the showers passed Saturday afternoon and said just a fraction of the dust amount remained. I was having to clean my combine's air filter every day, and that's not normal, he said. That's how bad it was. And the visibility was a problem. So that's much better. In Sadorus, John Schroeder finished harvesting soybeans a couple weeks ago and has collected half of his corn. He aims to finish by the end of the week. The weekend showers brought 2 much-needed inches of rain to his farmland, a half inch more than a neighbor a half mile away. It basically kept me out all day Saturday and Sunday, Schroeder said. So we're back into it today, and it's right where we were, clean, dry, and everything's going through just fine. Despite the persistent dry conditions, he said his corn dried up just 2% below golden moisture levels. His soybeans didn't fare as well, so he saw profit loss there. Unfortunately, we get paid by the moisture, he said. In light of the lack of rainfall, farmers counted the small victories in money saved from grain elevators' drying fees. While Nelson's overall moisture still lingered below the ideal amount, he said not having that added expense brought its own perks amid the yield loss. We're saving money there, but we're giving up moisture that would have been sellable weight as part of the standard, he said. Champaign and surrounding counties have seen significant rainfall shortages this year, with most areas well below the 12-month average. John Riefsteck said this season brought a never-before-seen type of drought in his half-century of farming. He said the fall season felt especially unique because only one substantial rain disrupted farming. I think we'd all rather have had a little bit higher moisture and a little more yield and paid some drying charges, but that's not what happened this year, he said. Riefsteck predicted his loss around 6% for soybeans and a minuscule amount for corn. If his fields had received more rain in the summer months, his crops would have grown more lush and full. In addition to aiding the crops, it would have helped against the threat of field fires. Excuse me, the rainfall will help prevent some of the field fires for those still harvesting, Reefsteck said Monday. We're still quite short for water. I went out this morning and there's still some pretty good-sized cracks out there in the field. Schroeder said the fires earlier this month in surrounding counties prompted precautionary measures he normally doesn't take. He installed extra fire extinguishers on his equipment, attached a tillage tool on a tractor to section off a potential blaze and lessen crop loss, and kept a 1,200-gallon water tank nearby just in case. Reefsteck planted cover crops earlier into the month, and Schroeder said he'll plant 40 acres after finishing the harvest. But despite discouraging signs, both farmers, remain hopeful. The seeds went into dry ground and didn't germinate very well, and if they do germinate now, we've lost a couple of weeks of growth in the fall that we could have gotten, Reefsteck said. If it stays moderately warm like I think it's supposed to, it'll get them up and growing. And there's a couple of photos that accompany this article. One is of a man standing outside of a pickup truck, and attached to the pickup truck is a very large farming vehicle. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but it's a sunny day, and let's read and see what it is. 2017 News Gazette Farm Leader of the Year, John Schroeder, that's J-O-N, Schroeder, said the weekend's showers brought around 2 inches of much-needed rain for his farmland in rural Sedoris. And that photo is taken by Rob Lacates. I'm not sure what, again, farming equipment it is. It looks like basically a big container of grain. And the other photo is, again, farming in the fields. Tom Cobertine, Cobertein, assists neighbor John Schroeder in harvesting corn Monday afternoon in rural Sedoris. Again, that photo is taken by Rob Lacates for the News Gazette. The next headline reads, Campus Town, Urbana 18-year-old charged with attempted murder in shooting. This article is written by Luke Taylor. He can be reached by email at ltaylor, so ltaylor, at newsgazette.com, and this is based in Champaign in Campustown. An Urbana 18-year-old has been charged with first-degree attempted murder in a shooting early Saturday morning in the heart of Campustown that prompted an Illini alert. DeCoven, D-E-C-O-V-E-N, Stevens, with a P-H, has also been charged with aggravated battery and unlawful possession of a handgun, according to court reports. University of Illinois police responded at 12:26 a.m. Saturday to reports of gunfire near the intersection of Green and Fifth Streets. Again, that was at 12:26 a.m. On scene, they discovered a man suffering from gunshot wounds. He was taken to Carl Foundation Hospital, where he underwent surgery that night. As of the most recent update from authorities, was still receiving care. An Illini alert mass text and social media notification went out around 3 minutes later, reporting the incident and asking the public to avoid the area. At 1:08 a.m., another Illini alert said the suspect had likely left the area, but further alerts over the next few hours continued to recommend avoiding the scene. The Daily Illini reported that two popular bars in the area, Cam's, K-A-M, apostrophe S, and Joe's Brewery, locked their doors and didn't allow anyone in or out. The shooting also resulted in a window at Royal BBQ being shattered, the DI reported. U of I police said officers flooded the search area but did not locate a suspect that night. However, they said officers and detectives from the U of I and Champaign Police Departments spoke to eyewitnesses and gathered video footage from witnesses, and Illinois State Police also assisted in gathering evidence at the scene. Police said witness statements that evening suggest a verbal altercation between multiple people, including the victim, preceded the shooting. None of the individuals involved are believed to have had any affiliation with the U of I, police said. During the investigation, police found multiple pieces of evidence, including a handgun that was suspected to have been used in the shooting. The investigation led police to obtain warrants to arrest Stevens and search his home. U of I police executed both warrants Monday morning with backup from the Metropolitan Emergency Tactical Response Operations Team and the Champaign County Street Crimes Task Force. U of I police initially stated that Stevens would be appearing at the Champaign County Courthouse on Monday for arraignment, but he did not. Most arrestees do not appear in court until at least the day after. Anyone with information about this incident is urged to contact the U of I police at the following phone number, 217-333-1216. That's 217-333-1216. Those wishing to remain anonymous can contact Champaign County Crime Stoppers at 217-373-8477 or 373tips.com or via the free P3 Tips mobile app. All messages to Crime Stoppers are electronically stripped of identifying information and forwarded to police by an independent third party. Coming soon to South Champaign, Chipotle, chained to open its third CU location in former Slim Pickens space next year. That story will be in A6. I'll get to that in just a moment. That was a sneak preview. Now, Sangamon Valley Public Water District, Mahomet Sludge Removal Project, Springs Minor Leak. This article is written by Jana, J-A-N-A, Wiersema, W-I-E-R-S-E-M-A, J. Wiersema, at newsgazette.com. That's her email address where you can reach her. This article is based out of Mahomet. A project to pump sludge away from a treatment pond in a northern Mahomet subdivision experienced a setback last week when it sprang a leak. Cameron Wygant, chair of the Sangamon Valley Public Water District Board, told the News Gazette that work being done by contractors resulted in a minor leak of biosolids from a temporary pipe bridge over Brianwood Lane on Thursday in the Thornwood subdivision. The leak was immediately detected, contained, removed, and cleaned by contractors on site, he said. The district immediately consulted with the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency to coordinate appropriate further steps in remediation of the leak. He also confirmed that the district received a noise complaint about overnight work and immediately addressed the concern with its subcontractor, to ensure local ordinances are followed. According to Wygant, upgrades to the district's wastewater treatment plant necessitated the removal of sludge from the treatment pond, which is located immediately east of the Thornwood subdivision. That's Thornwood, T-H-O-R-N-E-W-O-O-D subdivision. The sludge is being pumped from the pond to farmland on the west side of Illinois 47 via a temporary pipeline system, he said. Wygant estimated Monday that the work will take another 3 to 5 days to complete, weather permitting. He also noted that the IEPA granted the water district a permit for the work after testing the sludge to ensure it met compliance standards. This pipeline method was selected as the most cost-effective approach for the project with an estimated cost of $1 million compared to the alternative trucking method, which would have cost approximately $2 million, he said. Land application of nutrient-rich treated biosolids is a widely accepted practice in agriculture to fertilize land and improve crop yields. There's one photograph that accompanies this article, and it is of a neighborhood, and there's a tractor, and there's kind of this large orange kind of U-shape kind of arch that's over the main street. The caption reads, "The temporary pipe bridge, where a leak of biosolids occurred Thursday, is shown Monday on Briarwood Lane in the Thorwood subdivision in North Mohammed." That photo's taken by Robin Scholes for the News Gazette. Next up, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Of all the trips he's taken as a member of the Princeton Tiger Tones, 13 states and 9 countries, Henry Laufenberg's homecoming might top the list. The Uni High grad, class of 2022, and his internationally known a cappella group wowed the crowd last Monday at First Presbyterian in Champaign. "Performing in my hometown was amazing," he said. "It's something I've been dreaming of doing since joining the Tiger Tones 3 years ago, and it lived up to my every expectation. Seeing so many friends and family members in the audience at every show is a memory that I'll never forget." Laufenberg, 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 made News Gazette headlines at uni as a talented runner. "I'm certainly a better singer than runner at this point in my life," he said. "I've transitioned from a competitive runner to a casual one. I still enjoy it very much, and it's nice to go for jogs without worrying about how far or fast I need to run." Laufenberg will graduate in the spring with a degree in electrical engineering. His focus, renewable energy and the electric grid. Joining the Tones, White House regulars who've been around since 1946, pushed his college experience over the edge. "I was drawn to the Tiger Tones because of the way the group combines incredible music with amazing friendships," he said. "I know that the bonds I've built through these trips will last the rest of my life." And there's two photos provided. One is of a group standing at First Presbyterian Church in Champaign, there at the very kind of front of the church at the altar. Several boys in a horseshoe, and they have khaki kind of shorts on with white socks and blue blazers. The caption reads, "Henry Laufenberg and the Princeton Tiger Tones perform at First Presbyterian Church in Champaign on October 13th. And there's a photo of him. Must be kind of like a senior photo. Handsome young Caucasian male in a white suit with black bow tie. And that's kind of his senior portrait, I would imagine. Questions, comments, suggestions, you can always reach out to Jim Rosso for this column. That's JROSSOW at newsgazette.com. That's his email address where you can reach him. JROSSOW at newsgazette.com. Next up, history. Area history. In 1925, Missouri, Illinois, and Kentucky may be linked through construction of a $10 million bridge across the Ohio and Mississippi rivers in Cairo, Illinois. Plans for the giant bridge, which will be in the form of a Y, are being worked out by Harry E. Beauvais, Stuttgart, ARC, a bridge builder. The plan already has been submitted to representatives of counties from the three states. That was in 1925. In 1975, the Midwest is facing the most severe economic crisis since the Great Depression of the 1930s because of the expected natural gas shortage. Dr. Charles Cassetti, director of the Wisconsin Office of Emergency Energy Assistance, said. He said he was concerned over what is termed the lack of leadership in energy policy at the national level, noting that at the same time there is a natural gas shortage in the U.S. In 2010, plans to expand dental services for local low-income families are moving ahead with the help of grant money from the Illinois Children's Healthcare Foundation. Two Champaign County programs, Smile Healthy and Francis Nelson Health Center, will receive two of the 12 grants being awarded this year. In all, the foundation is giving $2.4 million to 12 Illinois organizations to create new programs or expand existing ones to increase access to oral health care. In international history, today's highlight: on October 21st, 2014, Paralympic runner Oscar Pistorius was convicted of culpable homicide for shooting and killing his girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp. The conviction was later upgraded to murder. Pistorius was released on parole in January of 2024. Also on this date, in 1797, the U.S. Navy frigate Constitution, also known as Old Ironsides, was christened in Boston's harbor. That was 1797. In 1805, a British fleet commanded by Vice Admiral, Horatio Nelson, defeated a French-Spanish fleet in the Battle of Trafalgar Nelson, however, was killed. That was 1805. Now, time jump. In 1940, Ernest Hemingway's novel For Whom the Bell Tolls was first published. In 1944, U.S. troops captured the German city of Aachen, A-A-C-H-E-N, 1944, the first German city to fall to American forces in World War II. In 1959, the Frank Lloyd Wright designed Guggenheim Museum opened in New York. That's 1959. In 1966, 144 people, 116 of them children, were killed when a coal waste landslide engulfed a school and some 20 houses in Aberfan, Wales. And lastly, in 2013, a seventh grader at Sparks Middle School in Sparks, Nevada, shot and killed a teacher and wounded two classmates before taking his own life. That was 2013. The next headline reads: Illinois Department of Human Services, nearly 2 million in state, set to lose SNAP benefits amid congressional stalemate. This article is written by Ben Zielinski. He can be reached at news@capitolnewsillinois.com. That's capital, C-A-P-I-T-O-L, newsillinois.com. And is based out of Springfield. Nearly 2 million people in Illinois could lose federal food benefits ahead of Thanksgiving if Congress can't agree on a budget by the end of the month. The Illinois Department of Human Services announced that the U.S. Department of Agriculture has told states that supplemental nutrition assistance program benefits will not be funded beginning November 1st if the federal government shutdown continues into a second month. About 1.9 million people in Illinois, that's 1.9 million people in Illinois, receive SNAP benefits each month. The federal government has been without a budget since October 1st, making virtually no progress in negotiations over health care issues causing the stalemate. The shutdown is now one of the longest in history, and if it extends beyond November 4th, would become the longest ever, surpassing a 35-day shutdown in President Donald Trump's first term. They're refusing to save health care for 22 million Americans, and now they're willing to let 1.9 million Illinoisans, including children, go hungry. Democratic Party of Illinois Chair Elizabeth, or Lisa Hernandez, said. Somehow, they can find the money to pay the ICE agents who have terrorized our communities, but not to keep food on our kids' tables. Illinois administers $350 million in SNAP benefits each month to low-income or other qualifying individuals. In Illinois, 45% of SNAP households include children and 44% include a person with a disability, according to IDHS. The next headline reads, Downtown Danville, coroner IDs man killed in Friday accident. This article is collectively written by the News Gazette and is based out of Danville. A motorcyclist has died after colliding with a car Friday afternoon near the city's downtown area. Vermilion County Coroner Jane McFadden identified the motorcyclist as Michael J.K. Weigel, or waggle. I apologize for any mispronunciation. The last name is spelled W-A-G-L-E, 46 of Danville. An autopsy has been scheduled for this week. Danville police said at 3:44 p.m. Friday, Mr. Waggle was driving his motorcycle south on Gilbert Street and failed to stop at a stoplight at the intersection with West North Street, then hit a Hyundai Sonata that was headed east on North Street in its driver's side door. Mr. Waggle was taken to OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center, where he was pronounced dead. No other injuries were reported. The investigation continues. Anyone who has information on the incident is asked to call Danville Police at 217-431-2250. That's 217-431-2250. Those wishing to remain anonymous can contact Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-8477. That's 217-446-8477. Or vccrimestoppers.org, or via the free P3 Tips mobile app. The next headline reads, Carriage Center. Chipotle to open third location in former Slim Chicken's space. This article is written by Jana Wiersema, who can be reached by email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Champaign. A building in South Champaign's Carriage Center development that formerly housed a Slim Chicken's restaurant will be converted into a Chipotle. A permit has been submitted for the site at 2037 South Neal Street, and the plan outlines extensive renovations to turn the building into a Chipotle. We are currently scheduled to open a new location in Champaign next year, said spokeswoman Annie Gradinger. The popular chain also has locations in Campustown and the North Prospect area. Slim Chickens closed September 2nd after a nearly 9-year run. The next headline reads, Danville School District Board set to consider removing administrator. This article is written by Jennifer Bailey, who can be reached by email at jbailey@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Danville. The Danville School Board on Wednesday will consider removing District Business and Finance Director Narcissus Rankin from her position effective immediately. Board President Darlene Halloran said she couldn't comment further on the agenda item, adding that more information will be forthcoming at the meeting where the district's attorney will be present. She said board members will meet in closed session beforehand. Rankin, R-A-N-K-I-N, has been in her current role since 2020 and served as assistant director for 5 years before being promoted. Recently, she has dealt with issues that include a new bus transportation contract and budgeting, with school board members questioning adjustments to the past budget before approving a deficit budget for 2025-26. In a budget memo to the school board last month, Rankin stated the fiscal 2026 budget has revenues projected at about $93.67 million and expenditures estimated at $94.13 million, meaning a deficit of $464,798. Federal funding reductions have been a factor, officials have said, and Rankin informed first-year superintendent John Hart and the board that the district will need to reduce and prioritize its expenditures during this school year. The areas that will be the focus of these decreases will include purchase services, supplies, and equipment, she added. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date Tuesday, October 21st, 2025. I'll be back to read part two with you shortly. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful day.